So who is a real father? You know, the fatherhood of God. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples to call God Father. Our Father in heaven, he said, pray like that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, he taught that God is our Father. I read in John chapter 8, verse 42 and 44, Jesus said, those who refuse to follow him, Jesus said to those who refuse to follow him, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceed and came from God. Jesus told the Pharisees, you're not God's children. Because if you would have been God's children, you would have known that I came from the Father. You see, God is the Father only of those who are led by the Spirit. You see, not everybody's got this privilege to call God their Father. And I pray this morning, and I hope, as a matter of fact, I could almost assume all of us here, we know what we're talking about. You know that God is your Father. Do you know that? Do you know that God is your Father? Don't compare God to your earthly father. You know, my earthly father, I thank God for our relationship him and I have right now. But he was a very abusive father. Verbally, physically. He abused us physically and verbally. He was always there, but he was pretty much absent in our lives. Probably in the past 3 years, yeah, my dad, he told me he loves me. But when I was growing up, I never heard such a thing. My dad never gave us affection, fatherly affection. My dad wasn't kind. But, you know, one time I asked him, I was having a conversation with him. I was like, well, why were you so rude to us? Because now, you know, we're growing up, we can talk to him. He's like, why were you so rude? Why were you were never nice? Well, that's how his father was. So he didn't know how to love. See, a lot of people, a lot of guys, they have kids. But they don't know how to father somebody else. You cannot give what you don't have. And a lot of them, first of all, they weren't ready. You know? So they didn't know how to love. They didn't know how to father. So if you're here and you had such father, I would ask you again today. Just release it. Because I know Mother's Day and Father's Day could be a very painful day for many people. Just because of their past experience. That's why today, as citizens of heaven, our focus is not necessarily on our earthly fathers, but on our heavenly Father. You know, if I would ask all of you guys here that, what does it take to be a good father? I mean, from personal experience, it takes a lot to be a good father, right? Right, guys? Especially when your teenagers are teenagers. I tell you, being a father, one of the things I've learned, especially in the past 2 years, yeah, 3 years, as a matter of fact, I had to learn God's heart, how to father from God's perspective. Because if I don't have God's perspective, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn my love off when they don't behave. When your children, as parents, when they don't behave, it is so easy for us to understand, to realize, man, your love for them is conditional. Thank God he's not like that. God's love for us is unconditional. And that's what we need to accept. I accept that God's love for me is unconditional. You know? God's love for me is unconditional. My Father God and people out there, they can't accept that. Some people don't want anything to do with a father. And then you talk to them about God being their father. That's unacceptable because their father was always absent in their lives. See, I read in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. Remember, everyone out there are created by God. whether they believe it or not. God created everything. But not everyone is our children of God. For you to become a child of God, you need to repent of your sin. You need to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sin. And then you need to confess Him with your mouth that He is Lord. Then, bang, you become a child of God. You're adopted to the family of Christ. You know, the same Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15 says, All those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. I remember growing up. Once again, that's what my dad knew. When my dad wasn't around, man, the house, there's some kind of peace about the house. We children, we felt, man, we could play, we could be loud. The moment my dad showed up, everybody like, be quiet. It's like my dad brought a heavy spirit in the house. And he brought the spirit of fear. Not the spirit of reverence or respect, but we feared him. We were afraid of him because he would beat us, not spank us. There's a difference between spanking, correction, and beating. Oh, yeah. I forgive my dad. Him and I, we have a good relationship. I can talk to you about this stuff from a place, not from a place of bitterness. I'm not bitter anymore. I've forgiven him. You know, the Lord has healed my heart. And I pray, whether you are here or you are there, you're watching, I pray you'll be able to forgive your dad and experience God's love, the ultimate love. It says here, God does not give us a spirit that makes us slaves, but God gives us a spirit that makes us, you feel belong. You belong to something. You belong to a family. There's nothing like feeling like you wanted, right? Right? Nothing like feeling I'm wanted. I am valued. I was not a mistake. You know, the worst thing that can happen to a kid is when the parent or the mom is having the kid and the mom don't want the kid. You know, even the baby in the room, the baby can feel that sense of rejection. You see, we live in a generation where there's a crisis of fathers. It's crazy, guys. I read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are." Now, let's read this again. 1 John, I don't know if I have it. Okay, so, but open it in your Bibles. It says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are." So I'm going to make this verse personal. See how very much God loves me. For He calls me His child. And that's who I am. I am loved by Him. God is a good Father. God will never leave me. He will never forsake me. See, for the Spirit of God, crying, Abba, Father. See, the word Abba, translated in the Greek word, means sustainer, provider, someone who is there for you. Abba. See, it is the Spirit Himself begin bearing witness in our spirit that we are a child of God. I cannot tell you if you are a child of God. You need to know for yourself if you are, whether or not you are a child of God, a daughter of God, a son of God. Because if you are a child of God, the Spirit of the Lord will bear witness to your spirit, you are a child of God. I remember growing up, I don't know if it's still like that. Back in the days, if you ask somebody, are you saved? They're like, well, nobody wanted to say if they're saved or not. Well, you'll know if you're saved. You cannot strive to be saved. You're either saved or you're not. And if you are saved, the Spirit of the Lord will bear witness to your spirit, you are saved. Are you perfect? Of course not. Are we in heaven yet? No, we're still on earth. We still face trials and tribulations, sins, and all that stuff. But am I saved? Yes, I bet you I am. I know I am. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord bear witness to my spirit. Am I a child of God? Yes, I am. So wherever I go, I behave like a child of God. You see, not all of us, we parents, if not all of us, most of us, that makes We are very proud when our sons and our daughters are behaving in ways that we value, right? That's how I am. I mean, none of us would want our sons and our daughters to be losers. Things dad never say. Oh man, you should be a loser. You should quit at fifth grade, right? And all this stuff you're doing for your children, why? Because you want them to succeed, right? You want them to be their best. You know, I never knew Xavier was this good on the drums. The breathing? I saw him yesterday. Breathing? I told him he's got to put a special for us here. So he can bring his drum up here so we can see. We don't know stuff like that. I was glad to see him playing last night. But you know, as a parent, when you see your kids succeed or excel, you feel like you're proud, right? How about God? Do you think He likes it when people are living like losers? When they're wasting their lives? No, it breaks their hearts. See, being a parent, I realize there's your kids grow up and they change, but they also change you if you live with a brighter mind. They do change you. Because I'm like, man, I love the season when my kids were 3 to 8. I come back from work. I mean, that beautiful little girl back there, I mean, she's a bundle of joy. Grandma and Grandpa, you guys are enjoying her. Right? You tell her, I mean, she might be a little stubborn, but you know what? She will obey. If she doesn't obey, you put the pressure down, right? It's a different story when they're 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Can I have a witness? That's right, man. You got to negotiate. And that's the way it should be. But I realize every season is great. Because right now, I mean, looking forward to be grandparents someday whenever it happens. But man, I would hate to have a 3-year-old at home. Because there's a season for everything. Your Father God in heaven is proud of you. No matter what. And receive that. You know, receive that. Today, live as a proud daughter, as a proud son of God. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, see how much God our Father loves us, for He calls us His children. And that's who we are. Not everyone can lay claim to the privilege of knowing God as Father. Only those who are born of God. Those who receive Christ as their Savior. Search your heart. I tell you, grab hold of your relationship with God. Another example. I love my children. I mean, yeah, all of us, you would die for your children. You would give your life for them. Why? Because they're from you. And not every parent has that. But thank God for us who has that. How does it feel when you feel rejected, unwanted, as a parent? It hurts. Or it hurt me when my kids don't want me. But where do I go? I go to Father God. And then I realize, guys, one of the things I have learned just being a dad, I have learned God's heart. Because sometimes you're a teenager, it's not because they don't love you. It's just because they're teenagers, just surrounded in their own world. And they think, well, mom, you got it. Mom has no feeling. Dad, you've got no feeling. They think you have arrived in your feelings. You're dead. So now, you know, there's nothing that can hurt you. But they don't realize how much you hurt. See, when they're little, you stay up at night with them. Because they needed to go party. They needed to, you know, you needed to take care of them. But 16, 17, 18, 20, 30, 40, 50, you're still worrying, right? You can't sleep at night because you worry for them. And if they're married, their marriage is not good. Their wife or their spouse is mistreating them. That kills you. So as parents, we do suffer. How do you think our Heavenly Father feels when we reject Him? See, we were created in God's image for a great reason. So we can understand how God feels when we reject Him. God doesn't like it. It's not pretty. It's not nice. It hurts Him. That's why God's purpose is for everyone to come to God, to Jesus. Everyone needs. God is, as a matter of fact, the Word of God says creation is longing for the return of people's heart to God. So it does hurt Him. So today, as we celebrate Father's Day, we focus on our Heavenly Father. And I'll challenge you. Let's honor Him. The other day I was thinking, I was like, thank God for my relationship with my kids. We have good relationship. We're learning. They're stretching me. I'm stretching them. But you know, I said, just like in every relationship, it would be an act of hypocrisy for today, for your kid, or for you to be like, just lavishing all your love, Michaela, that if you really disrespect Him. I told Michaela that earlier today. I say, you guys have a good father. I have talked to Quinn. I'm spending time with Quinn. He cares. Dave, he loves his kids. You ladies, you love your children. You give yourself away for them. But on Mother's Day, they go all out. It's Mother's Day, baby. I said, no, don't do that. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. See, love has more to do. Loving God has more to do than coming to church and singing a worship song. It's the way you live. The way you honor Him at work. The way you honor Him when you're in your car. The way you honor Him when you're by yourself. The way you honor Him when life is tough. See, God is a Father, you can always call on Him. He will never turn His back on you. So the privilege of prayer and promise that God will work all things together for your good is part of the inheritance of sonship. I'm going to repeat that. The privilege of prayer and the promise that God will work everything for our good, that's part of sonship. Because guess what? I'm not going to do my best to work everything for the good of any kid out there. But for my three children, you betcha, right? Oh, you guys will give your life for Mercer. You might help another kid. But you're not going to give your life for another kid. Because they're not yours. It's not because you're a bad person. This is a principle. It's normal. See, the Word of God says God will work everything for those that are His children. That's it. See, people think God is just like Buddha or some kind of other religious God out there. God is He's a holy God longing for relationship. And that's what makes the difference between God and everything else. I told you over Christmas, God is the only one that came down on earth for us. Every other God, you got to look for them. Every other God, you got to do things to come after them. But God is the only one that came after us. He searched for us. Still today, what do we sing, right? There's no mountain you won't climb up to come in after me, right? There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down to come in after me. So there's nothing. So when I'm studying God as a father, I want to be like God. So therefore, on days my children are misbehaving, what do? I realize for me to be a good father, a father who is after God's heart, I have to keep running after them. Even if they're refusing my love, I gotta still give it to them. Then being a father is easy. Being a parent is a lot easier when you try to do it in the perspective, in the light of God. Because your son and your daughter might not want you. They might not want your love. They might think, well, they don't want it. But what are you going to do? Turn your love off? You better not do that. It's the easy way out. Sometimes that's what I want to do. Oh, I tell you, that's what I want to do. I even tried it. But thank God for my relationship with Him. Because the more I spent time with Him, He's like, all right, Carlo, this is how you do it. I'm like, but God, I can't do that. I'm not you. He's like, yeah, but you can do like me. You see, there's another verse I want us to read. See, today I choose to share this because one of the reasons is, I'd say there's two reasons. Maybe some of us here guys are not fathers, like, you know, you don't have children. But that doesn't mean you don't have a father heart. Maybe some of us are not fathers yet. Maybe you have kids in your neighborhood you are helping. Maybe you have kids in school you are being a father figure in their lives. See, the task is, every human father is to be for his children an image of our heavenly Father. That's it. I want to be a father for my children. When they see me, I want them to see God. I want them to experience God's love through me. Ha. That is a challenge. As a parent, talk about parent. You want your children to experience God's love through the way you love them. Does God judge us? No. Does He love us? Yes. God doesn't compromise. Right now, there's no judgment. This is not the time to judge. Nope. Judgment will come. This is not the day. The day of judgment is coming. Not today. Today is the day of salvation. It's the day to come back to the Lord. It's the day to make things right. Not only with God, but the day to make things right with people. Remember what I said, been saying. The enemy is always after your relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with family. You know there are families today, it's a painful day for them. There are kids right now, they don't want to talk about their father. That's why I begin talking about the fatherhood of God. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23, it says, "For a husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of His body." You see, this verse here, I have a picture. It says, "A house without a foundation is condemned, no matter how beautiful it is." How do you think about this house? Huh? I don't want to live there, especially on hurricane season. I mean, and there's no way this house has got a foundation. But it's pretty, right? I tell you, there's maybe some of the rooms, you in there, man, you got like, almost like, that's ocean view, right? Some of us would die for ocean view. But I tell you, stay away from a house like this. Because a house without a foundation is condemned. You see, now, if we go back to the verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible says the husband is the head. And some of, they use this for wedding, you know, and even premarital counseling. The word head sounds good. But what a lot of people fail to understand, the word head in that verse is translated from the Greek as kaput. In Hebrew, it's rosh. Or in Greek, it's kephale, which means foundation. So you would read, the right interpretation for that verse would be, the husband is the foundation. So therefore, a father is very important. Statistically, it's proven. The majority of time, I mean, think about it. A child spent 9 months in the mother's womb, right? That's why they say most of the time the child have a perfect connection with the mother. But genuinely speaking, the first word for a child is dada. Papa. Genuinely speaking, okay? Now, it could be Mimi, all right? It could be Mama. It could be chair. One of my kids' first words was poo-poo. Everything was poo-poo. And they loved it. You like, you know, say something else. Poo-poo. Somehow the word poo-poo sounds really good. You know, we even have it recorded. You know? But generally speaking, a father, the word dad, why? Because a father brings identity in a child. You do need the mother. The mother is vital. But the father brings identity. The father brings stability. You remember that word? Wait till your father comes home. Most of us didn't like that. And it's really good for a child. It's very important. Because a child without a father, not necessarily a biological father, it could be a father figured in their life, it could be an aunt, uncle, it could be a grandfather, or it could be also a friend. See, now remember, the word head in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, means foundation. The Latin word is caput, C-A-P-U-T, caput. The Hebrew word is rosh, R-O-S-H. The Greek word is kephale, which means foundation. So, guys, we're not just the head of the house. I am the foundation. That's why every young man, every young girl that gives themselves, I know we have some young girls here. I told my girls that all the time. If you hire a contractor to build you a house, you never pay him up front, do you? You better not. Or your house will never finish, right? You pay him as the project's being done, right? Right, Dave? Is that how you do it? Yeah. Because some of us, you think, man, this contractor looks like a very nice person. I'm just going to pay him up front. Guess what? Your house will never build. It's the same thing. I keep telling young girls, unless you have, but our society, they don't function like that. Because they're worldly. They don't listen. Unless you have a ring, the guy put a ring in your hand, you don't go and lay with them. Because then the guy's not buying it. So of course you start messing around, and then here comes a kid, and then you've got a generation of kids having kids, and you have a fatherless generation. That's how it happens. You know, thank God for the Crisis Pregnancy Center. It's one of them. We say, you know, we're going to keep showing you this video. Why do you give? We are a church who believe in giving and helping, and what you give helps support missionaries. Work like Crisis Pregnancy Center. You know, this week, PK and Pastor Seth is in Ukraine. You know, so we're supporting six pastors in Haiti, six churches. So, keep putting your money where your heart is. All right? See, the greatest crisis in our nation right now is not a lack of money, but it's a lack of fathers. Scientists has proven that the greatest crisis, even in America, not only in America, but in the world. You know, there's a father absence crisis in America. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 18.3 million children, one in four live without a biological or step or adoptive father in their home. Consequently, there is a father factor in nearly all society ill-facing America today. You see, now, I got some statistic. A child that grows without a father have four times likely for them to be poor. Behavioral problems. More likely to have a behavioral problem. I think I've got that on the screen, don't I? You can go next slide. Yeah, that's the one here. Two times greater risk of infant mortality. Incarceration. More likely to go to prison. A child without a father. crime, more likely to commit a crime, a child without a father. Teen pregnancies, 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. Child abuse, more likely to face abuse and neglect. Wow. Don't we need fathers? Don't we need the fathers to take their responsibility? Don't we need young girls to start thinking right? Unless the guy, sometimes the guy can put a ring in your finger. Yes, if they don't understand commitment, they might not stick around even after the wedding. But still, young girls out there, you know, some of our young girls here, you need to understand. You got to protect yourself. Substance abuse, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. Child obesity, two times more likely to suffer obesity. Education, 2 times more likely to drop out of high school. So you're like, man. You remember back in the days, maybe 30, 40 years ago? When people used to take responsibility. See, there are no substitute for fathers. See, Miles Monroe had a quote. He said, "We have been witnessing people trying to redefine marriage in some cases. They say a child can have 2 mothers. It doesn't work. Nobody can redefine marriage. Okay? You can't redefine something you didn't create. And we all know what society we live in. It's not a hate speech. It's not a hate crime to say that. It's just like you can't redefine it, period. You can't tell me morning is night. Well, it doesn't matter if you say it's at night tonight, right now. But the reality is it's morning. It's 11:22, is it? Something like that. It is. There's no substitute for fathers. You see, a teacher cannot be a father. A friend cannot be a father. A guardian cannot be a father. So how do you recognize, I'm talking about real father. How do you recognize a father? If you open your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, verse 15, "For even if you had 10,000 other teachers or guardian, even if you have 10,000 other people teaching you about Christ, for I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you." 1 Corinthians 4:15. "I urge you to imitate me." How do you know a good father? How do you know a real father? A real father is someone who say, "Do what I say." A real father is someone who say, "Hey, do what I say. Say what I say. Be like me. Dress like me. Act like me. Be like me." And Jesus came and did the same thing. Jesus like, "Well, you be like me." See, how do I want to be a good father. I want to be a real father. So you know what I do? I put myself in my own principle square. Do I want my kids, do I want Ryan to be like me? Well, therefore, if I want Ryan to be a good man, I have to exemplify that to him. If I want my girls to know what a real man is, guess what I'm going to do? Well, I'm going to do everything I can to my power to be a good husband to their mother so they can see. Now, they still have a choice, right? They can choose to go with a loser, but I set the example to them. This is what a real man looks like. A real man is the one that says, "Do like me." Paul said, "You may have many teachers. A child can have many people speak in their lives. But the father is very important." You see, it's unfortunate that our society has a reputation to let other people raise their kids. Parents are so busy. It's so sad. It breaks my heart to see it. Both parents are working to death. Never have time to spend with their kids. So they give their kids nannies. And then they miss. You know, you only have the kids for maybe 13 years, 14 years. Started 15, they start thinking about to branch off. We see nowadays, we don't even think about, wait, they don't want to wait 18, 20, whatever. See, how many parents right now are letting TV babysitting their kids? Do they know what TV is teaching them? YouTube? A tablet? I mean, I don't know. Parents think it's so cool for your kids to always be on the tablet. You know how devastating it is for their kid's brain? Give them a book. Coloring. But parents are so lazy. They don't want to work. It's too much work. It's hard work. Get the kids to always be on a tablet. Get the kids to always watching stuff on YouTube. Do you know what YouTube is teaching them? Man, I don't have time to go in some of the things that are happening right now. Let's not go there. Do you know what the nannies are teaching your kids? A father can't just be a teacher, because anybody can teach your kids. A father is someone who is present, observable, and you can imitate. And our Father God today, He wants to continue to be that to us. Jesus is telling each one of us here, do as I do. Say what I say. Be like me. A father is someone you can imitate. Jesus said, Peter, by revelation in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example. Christ is our example. So therefore, as a parent, I want to be like Christ. That's why even if it's hard to be a dad, it's not really if I really be like Christ. Does that make sense? To be a parent, it's very easy when I just do it like Christ. Because for me to do it like Christ, I got to die to myself. See, your kid hurt you, but instead of getting back at them, what do? I extend grace. Eh? That's the good news, huh? Is it easy? Oh, no. You know it's not easy. I know. But when I choose to do it, the more I choose to do it, the easier it gets. Christ is our example. And you must follow in His footsteps. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. See, let me ask you this question. As a parent, not just as fathers, but we know we have most of us here are parents, and maybe some of you will be parent later. Would you want your kid to imitate you? Would you want your kid to behave like you? Would you want your kid to behave? Or should they imitate you? As a man, how do I want my son to see women? As a man, how do I want my daughters to see a man? As a mother, how do you want your daughter to identify to a man? I don't have those answers. You do. Simple question. A real father is the one who is present, observable, and someone you can emulate. See, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, and because we are children, God has sent His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, to our hearts, prompting us to call Abba, Father. The word Abba, I told you earlier, means sustainer. A generic pool. You know, a root, foundation. See, the Hebrew word means a progenitor, a supporter of genes. Not someone who just had a kid, but someone who is there to support. See, maybe some of you, the experience you had with your father, I mean, he wasn't there. Talking about fathers, like, what is that? But God is a father you can count on. You can count on God. Why? Because He is faithful. He will keep His word. God is our Father. He loves us perfectly. He loves us perfectly. God is our Father. He's a good listener. God is our Father. He's a good provider. God is our Father. He sees you as valuable. This is the good news. God sees me as valuable. You're not just Quinn. You're valuable. You're not just George. You know, you have value. And you, would you accept that our Father God loves us today? Our Father wants to be with you forever. God wants to spend time with you. He wants. That's why I'm encouraging you again today. Spend time with God. Talk to Him. Take time to be with Him. God is all about relationship. You know how you build relationship? Spending time. If you and I come here and I only see you on Sunday, there's no relationship. We'll have a relationship. No relationship. If I only see you, Linda, you and I got to go on a trip, and you and Kendra, because I hear you always climbing or going out in the boonies somewhere. But seriously, relationship, you build it by interacting with one another, right? Doing things, maybe I don't like what you do, but because I value the relationship, I do it. See, now we live in a society where everybody, it's like about me. Guess what? God is, it's not all about Him. He wants you. He wants friendship. He wants to spend time. He's always available. You're the one that's always busy. You know? And you're so busy. And then when you finally have a little time, oh, you're so poop and tired, you got to kick back in front of the TV. Because you're so tired. And there's no time for friendship. There's no time for friendship. And I challenge you. Jesus is returning. Our Father is coming back. Cherish your friendship with Him. Know Him. Read the Bible. Spend time in His Word. Pray. Search for Him. Close the distractions. And find a group of people. Today, I wish all our fathers a happy Father's Day. I thank God that we have good examples like Captain Sam. My captain. I've never said Captain Sam before. That's why it's coming out hard. Captain. You know, we do have good fathers, don't we? A lot of the guys are not here. Tony is a good father. You know, you being a good father to Becky's kids. I see it. I hear it. That's a good thing. That's honorable. You know? Dave, you're good fathers. Gary, you know, Bernie, George, and those guys that are not here. I've got 19 guys on the home group, but a lot of them are out of town, I guess. And if you ladies here, your husband are still with you, and they are the father of your kids, I'd encourage you today, just pamper them. Why? Because they are your foundation. And today is a good day to make them feel special. How about that? How about that? It's a good day. Let's pray. God, we love you. Thank you for being a perfect Father. Thank you for being always there for us, Lord. And we rejoice in your unstoppable love for us. I pray today as we close this service that we would go home reminded that you are better than our earthly fathers. We don't have to compare you with our earthly fathers. You are a good father, and that we can count on in Jesus' name. If you agree, you said, amen. Well, let's stand. We'll do one more song. I would invite the worship team to come up. Good Father, we sing that again. He is our good Father. Thank you, Lord.